Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. If you have it, say, I've got it. Okay, it seems like we're still waiting on a couple. Amen. I'm coming from the New International Version. Again, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. If you have it, say, I've got it. All right. It says it this way. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. That's why I love Jesus. Check out what he says here. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Y'all, the focal verse here that I want to touch is here at verse 3. It says, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. If I can, just for a moment of your time, just preach and teach just a little bit from the subject, pour out your best. Pour out your best. Before you go to your seat, just shout out loud, pour it out. Pour it out. One more time, pour it out. Let us pray. God, we thank you. God, we love you. God, we bless you. We ask you now to decrease all of Eric D. Battle Sr. and increase all of Jesus the Christ. So your people see none of me, but all of you. And cline my ears so I can think to your mind so I can think your thoughts, God, so I can hear what you have to say. I ask you now, forgive me of anything, God, that I've done that has not been pleasing unto you. Wash me, cleanse me, so I could stand rightfully behind the sacred desk to preach, teach, and declare your holy and sacred word. God, we are waiting in expectation what you have to say. So, God, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody who loves God, shout amen. Amen. Shout amen one more time. Amen. And one more for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You may go to your seat. You may go to your seat. Pour it out. This time of the year, y'all, is very, very exciting for me because track and field is at its peak right now. You got conference championships, NCAA championships, national trials for the worlds, and then you have the world meet, which is in about 2 weeks in Eugene, Oregon. I get to see some of my favorite athletes in the world line up, get themselves in the block, and take off. I don't know about y'all. If you've never run track, you might not feel my excitement, but I was a track runner, and it's something exhilarating about watching it on TV. For some people to do something I can't do, it's an exhilarating feeling. And one of those athletes that I like to watch is the world's number one in the 400 intermediate hurdles, and her name is Sydney McLaughlin. She'll probably come up on the screen here in a second. Sydney McLaughlin. She is the current Olympic champion in the event, and she is the current world record holder. She just won the national trials at a time of 51.3. She ran so fast over hurdles, she would have qualified for the individual 400-meter race. Crazy. Sydney has been pouring out her best work over the last year and a half. And there's no doubt about it. When Sydney steps on the track, gets her feet in the blocks, the race is already over. And what I realized about her is that she isn't running just for first place. No, because she already knows she's a winner. Sydney is running for results. Sydney is going to win, but her best isn't measured by her winning the race. Her best is measured in her results, how she produces. Every time Sydney steps on the track, the goal is to run a better race, run with better technique, to breathe with better efficiency, and run a faster time every time she steps on the track. And the results of the race is how she produces. And y'all, we get to see her pour out every day or every weekend on the television and pour out her best. We get to see her execute with efficiency over those hurdles. We get to see her swallow up the competition on the backstretch. We get to see her push her body over the limit to get across the finish line. But what we don't get to see is what it took for her to get her body in shape to get ready for that race. What we don't get to see is how much it cost her to get to the point to where she is as the Olympic champion. We don't get to see the blood, sweat, and tears of the training regimen that she has to go through every day. We don't get to see the one-on-one coaching and counseling that she gets from her coach. But what we do get to see is a woman pouring out her best. And just like on our text today, we get to see a woman pouring out her best. Somebody say, pour out your best. According to Mark, the woman pours this expensive perfume on the head of Jesus. And we can learn something from this woman today. What a great example from a woman. Y'all, the woman pours this specific spikenard or perfume, if you will, on a specific place. She pours out her best on Jesus. And oftentimes, we pour out our best everywhere else instead of giving God our best, the one who deserves it. Okay? Maybe I'll repeat it again. Oftentimes, we pour out our best everywhere else instead of giving our best to the one who deserves it. Our jobs get the best version of us. We are there on time, and we stay late if we have to. We will go all out for our families. Our kids got to have it. Our wife got to be straight. Husband got to be good. We got to make sure our mother is good. Some of us have amazing gifts and will pour out our best everywhere else. But Jesus gets to barely see them. We have all the resources in the world and we'll pour it out everywhere else. But Jesus can't even get a sniff of the tithe. And I want to encourage someone today who was looking on or somewhere in the room today that the kingdom needs your best too. And I do believe Jesus deserves your best. And I can kind of go through the Rolodex on why Jesus deserves your best. And one reason why I believe Jesus deserves your best is because you woke up this morning and started you on your way. I can go down the Rolodex on the reason why I believe Jesus deserves your best. It's because God put some resources in your pocket to make sure your gas tank won't run out, especially how the gas prices has been losing its mind. Who am I talking to today that understands that Jesus deserves your best? Some of you were sick and had COVID, but COVID didn't take you out. Jesus deserves your best. Somebody was homeless, but you're in a brand new home right now because Jesus deserves your best. Somebody couldn't get pregnant, but here it is. Jesus made it a way for your family to have children. I don't know who I've come to talk to, but God says if you give it to the world, Jesus deserves your best too. It shouldn't play second fiddle to anywhere or anybody else. Y'all, with so much going on in the world today, we need those that are following Christ to pour out their best for Jesus. With so much going on in our world today, we touched on it last week, Roe versus Wade. With so much going on in our world today, we need some people who are following Christ to pour out their best for Jesus. With people going in school, shooting up our schools and going in hospitals, we need some people who don't mind following Christ and pouring out their best for Jesus. Homes deteriorating, marriages are going and falling by the wayside, and I declare and decree that the kingdom needs your best too. And the kingdom gets better if we pour out our best to Jesus. Here it is. So many people around you and in this world can surely benefit from what you bring to the table. So many people around you and in this world can surely benefit from your best pour. No one else can bring to the table what you can bring to the table. What you have to offer, no one else can offer. Notice what I mean. Here in the text, the text says, Mark says woman, but according to some study, this woman is Mary. Mary is bringing some expensive perfume, which is made of what we call pure nard. Everybody say pure nard. This pure nard, or spikenard, was costly. It was a costly aromatic oil from an herb in the native to India. It was rare. It was authentic. And it was important. Mary took what she have that was rare, authentic, and poured it on Jesus. She took something that you can't hardly find. She took something that nobody else had. She took something that was authentic, strictly made for that occasion. Imported, meaning you had to go get it from somewhere else and poured it on Jesus. Okay, what are you saying? What you have, your best is rare. Your best is authentic. Nobody else can give what you can give and bring it to the table. Who am I talking to right now that has to understand that what you bring to the table is important? Nobody can do what you can do. I don't care what somebody else may say on your job. Nobody can do what you can do. Somebody can benefit from that rare, authentic, and important gift that God has given you. It's rare. It's authentic. And it's important. And let me say this. I want to speak into somebody's life that God doesn't want a carbon copy of somebody else. God wants your best. He don't want your mom's best. He don't want your father's best. He doesn't want your pastor's best. He doesn't want your best friend's best. God wants the very thing that's in you, the very authentic, the very rare, the very thing that God has placed in you. God wants that. He don't want it from somebody else. He wants it from you. Everybody say, he wants it from me. And that's what I love about it.
That's what I love about it, because at the end of the day, God has called me to be authentic, rare, and imported. And here's also what I love about this text. What she brings to the table is costly. Y'all, I did some study on this spikenard, and this oil and this ointment had to cost about 300 denarii. And back then, 300 denarii was about a year's wage for some man who was working. So she took the perfume that was probably passed down through her family to her. She took it, which was expensive, and gave it to Jesus. She could have used this perfume somewhere else. Come on, y'all. Y'all know. Come on, females. Y'all know about this perfume. Your perfume. I got to smell good when I walk out of here. And I'm about to give this what I spent some good money on and pour it to somewhere else. And she just didn't give him a little bit. She broke open the jar and poured it on top of his head. She took something very expensive, costly, and gave it to Jesus. And here's what I love about Mary. She wasn't worried about how much it cost. She wasn't worried on what it took to get it. She wasn't worried on how expensive it was. All she was worried is, if I get it to Jesus, Jesus is going to know what to do with it. See, her cost for the perfume was priceless, because she knew whose hands it was going to be in. Her cost equaled devotion. It was more about devotion than a dime. It was more than the devotion than what she had to spend her money on. And I don't know who I've come to talk to, but you've been going through, you've been putting so much sacrifice, you've been giving your time, and nobody else is noticing you. You've been doing it for everybody else. But if you put what you've been doing, the sacrifice and the time, what you've been putting out there, and the money and the expenses, all the stuff that you've had to go through just to get to this point, you've been putting it into somebody else. You've been pouring it into somebody else and been pouring it into somebody else. But can I tell you, you're probably not getting the results you want. It's because you're pouring it and putting it in the wrong hands. If you pour and pour into the right hands, God will do something with it. It was expensive, but that didn't matter to Mary. It was expensive. It mattered to everybody else what she was doing with what she brought to the table. It amazes me how everybody got something to say about what I do. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Am I talking to myself this morning? It amazes me how everybody got something to say about what's going on in my life. Am I the only one this morning? People like to talk about what you do. But Mary, here it is. She gives it, and then there's people here. It says some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why are you wasting that perfume? Why does it matter to you? Why I'm wasting what you say perfume? I'm doing exactly what I believe I'm supposed to do, what God has given me, so I'm going to give it back to Jesus." Here it is. There's a book called Dream Giver by Carl Wilkerson. And there's a quote in it that blew my mind. This changed the perspective of my life, y'all. He always, in his book, he says, as a dream giver, God gives a dream. And 9 times out of 10, when God gives a dream, you and I take it and run with it. But Carl says in the book, when God gives you a dream, when God gives you a gift, when God gives you an anointing, when God puts things on you, you just don't run and take, go with it. You return what he gave you back to him. And when you give it back to him, God knows what to do with it. See, when you give it back to him, that means you honor him. That means you revere him. That means God comes before anything and everything else. And that's probably the reason why our businesses is not going the way they're supposed to. It's because we haven't given it back to the one who gave it to us. That's the reason why the dream hasn't come to play to fruition. It's because we haven't given it back to him. That's the reason why our marriage is probably going down the drain. It's because we haven't given it back to him. But I am here to tell you, anything that you God gives you, when you give it back to him, God is going to make sure it has a firm foundation. Somebody say, pour out your best. And it's just like we're quick to come in here and give our children back. We want to, that's the first thing we do. We get some kids, we're going to give children back. And that's good. Give your kids back. I want you to give your kids back. Please, please, please. But the same devotion you have for your children is the same devotion that you should have for that singing gift. It's the same devotion that you should have for the entrepreneurial gift that's in you. The same passion that you have for that when you give your kids back, it's the same passion you should have when you're playing keys, when you're drumming, when you're preaching. If God gives you a gift, give it back to him. And y'all, I love what she does here, because she pours her expensive perfume onto someone who knows how to produce. See, with Jesus, we know we will get results. He knows what to do with it. Notice in verse 9, he says, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Okay? All right, I'll come back a little bit. Jesus knows what to do with your best. Because when you give him your best, things happen. Notice, Mary will be known forever because she gave her expensive perfume to the right one. Her legacy is now cemented because all she did was give her expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus. And here's what Jesus says. Now you're going to be remembered forever. Here it is. Oftentimes, we are giving our best to someone else and not getting the results that we should be getting. But I do believe when you're doing exactly what God has called you to do, everything you do for Jesus will last. And I'm not talking about getting up here and doing it for yourself and getting the credit for yourself. No, what we're doing is giving what God has given us and giving it back to him. And when you give it back to him, he's going to make sure your legacy will last. He's going to make sure what you do for him shall last. And I don't know who I've come to preach to, but I come to let you know, if you put what God has given you in the right hands, if you pour your best out on Jesus, if you pour your best into Jesus, God's going to make sure that what you do for him shall last. Is that anybody else's testimony? I'm not doing what God has called me to do for myself. I don't want the credit. I don't want nobody else to get the credit. But what God has given me, I want him to get the glory. She will be remembered. It's crazy. It's the word, y'all. Here it is. Some of us are trying to figure it out. What's our next step? Declare it's not clear, it's vague. But can I tell you what your next step is? Give what you got to Jesus. Simple. That's your next step. When you give it to him, I promise you, God is going to make that thing last. And I don't know the dream that you have, but I want you to give it to him. I don't know the business idea that you have, but I want you to give it to him. I don't know the gift that you're trying to, that's stirring up in you. You don't know what's the next step. I want you to give it to him. Pour it out in the right hands. And when we pour it out in the right hands, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for those who love him. How many in here can say, I love God, and I love him with my whole heart? If you love God with your whole heart, I dare you to give what he's been given to you. back to him. I know it's inflation. I know it's certain things going on in this world, but nothing, and I mean nothing, can stand against what God is doing in you. If God said it, then it shall happen. Who am I talking to this morning that knows when I give him my best, he's going to make sure I get the results I need?
Well, Pastor Elvin, let me tell you something. This blew my mind. And my professors are probably going to cringe when I do this. And I know I've been talking about this woman, but it was Jesus in this text. He blew my mind in this text, y'all. And I'm going to tell you how he blew my mind. In the beginning of this text, Jesus is in the house reclining at the table. Anybody got a reclining chair at home? Raise your hand if you got a reclining chair. I got a reclining chair at home, and I sit on that bad boy like never before, man. Listen, there's a reclining chair, and Jesus is reclining at the table, getting ready for a meal. Y'all, this blew my mind. Mary is pouring out her best, giving her best to Jesus, and Jesus is reclining at the table. Her sister's running around trying to make sure everything is straight. And Jesus is reclining at the table. And I realized something. I train about 4 to 5 days a week. And my trainer said something to me and it blew my mind. Because he said, how's everything going? I said, I'm doing the best I can. But it's not forming or taking shape like I want it to. He says, he goes, so are you eating right? And I say, yeah, I'm doing. He says, but are you resting? And I go, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. He says, when you rest appropriately, your body has a chance to catch up to what you're doing. When you're resting, he says, when you're resting, your body is able to do its best work when you rest. Y'all, this blew my mind. So when I start sleeping a lot, I start sleeping a lot more. And when I tell you the pounds started coming off, I started to eat right, but I started to rest. And we've been talking about resting, y'all. Jesus was on his way, doing a lot of work, healing folk, raising people from the dead, walking on water, healing people, eyes being open, lame to being walked, but he had a time to sit down and rest. Jesus knew his journey was much, much longer than what he had to do. He had some more things to do because he was getting ready to go to the cross for you and I. But he understood he had to take a break because if he didn't take a break, he won't be able to give his best. So I don't know who I'm talking to, and this is it. This is my closing point. But I wanted to preach to somebody. Some of y'all have been pouring out, and you've been pouring out into the wrong hands. But at the same time, what I'm asking you to do today is, in order for what you've been pouring out in, yes, put it in Jesus' hands, but some of you have just been running ragged and not giving yourselves a break. But in order for you to give your best to Jesus, you got to make sure you rest too. Jesus is reclining at the table. So if Jesus, our Lord and Savior, can rest, that means you and I can rest. The journey that we're on has been a long one. And I know some of us have gone through a lot. I don't know the very things that you have gone through, but you have made it to this point. But in order to pour out your best, my prayer is that you pour your best into Jesus, but at the same time as you're pouring into Jesus, take a break. My prayer is that you don't have to be the one having to always pull the strings, having to always making sure you're getting the kids ready, and you're always the one having to cook dinner. You're always the one having to get the homework done. You're always the one making sure things are running. All I'm asking you to do today is take a break. Who am I talking to? The only way I can pour out my best and be the best version of myself is if I begin to recline. It's okay to sit down. It's okay not to do everything. For some of us, we think we got to put our hands to everything. But no, God has called some of you. God wants you to catch up to him. And the only way you and I can do that is if you and I can take a break. And God wants you and I to give out
the best that we can to him. Who is it with me today that wants to understand that only way Jesus can get his best is if I rest and I put it in his hands? Come on and give God some praise. Come on and give God some praise. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody is burnt out. Somebody has been going. Somebody has chosen to keep going and not take a break. But today is the day. God says, I want your best, but you have to give it to me. And that's how we take a break today. And as Pastor Edwin did in our prayer, we lift up our hands as a sign that says, God, I give it to you. But what I love about that too, see, when we lift up our hands and open up our hands, when we lift up our arms, open up our hands, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. See, sometimes when we're down here, our fists are balled up and clenched. But when we lift up our hands, it's a sign of saying, my hands are empty. See, when my hands are empty, that means I give everything to him. And that's what I do believe God wants all of us to do today. God wants us to be empty-handed. Everything don't have to be done by you all the time. You're being pulled from to and fro. But God wants your very best. But he can't get your best if you're tired. He can't get your best if you're weary. God wants your best. And I know you're probably saying to me, well, how's it going to get done? Because I'm the one who always does it. I get it. I understand. But the first piece is to always give it to him. When you give it to him, I promise you, he'll give you rest. And that's my prayer for some of you today. Nothing more hype. Nothing. God wants your best. You give it to everybody else. But why not try Jesus today? When you give your best, I do believe God's going to make sure you get the results you're looking for. And as you get the results you're looking for, God will lift you up. Amen? Come on, let's stand to our feet and give God some praise. Come on, let's give God some praise.